Hello, my name is Steve Wilbraham, and I'm the senior pastor of Congregational Presbyterian Church. We are glad to offer these audio sermons for our congregation and for those interested in learning more about our church and the Christian faith. We invite you to visit us, to meet our pastors and members, and to join us in the journey of faith. The mission of our church is to know Christ, to become like Christ, and to share Christ. Now, on to the sermon.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. I would invite you to open your pew Bible, but I'm actually going to hold off, all right? And here's why. Our passage for this morning is the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, etc., etc. And when you read it in our translation that we have in the pew Bible, it's completely different from what you're used to hearing when we say it together in the service. So what I would like to suggest this morning is that we actually read the passage or recite the passage together by saying the Lord's Prayer. We're going to do that here in a few moments after the sermon anyway, but we're going to start out doing that together. If you'd like to follow along, we actually have it printed in the bulletin in the 9 o'clock service. So if you look at the 9 o'clock service under prayers of our church family, you'll find it there and you'd like to follow along. If you think that you can recite it without reading it, by all means, test yourself and see how you do. I'm going to read it because a couple of weeks ago, I got halfway through it in the first service, or maybe it was this service, I can't remember, and completely forgot the second half. And so I'm going to read along together. This is the word of the Lord. It comes from Scripture, but let us read it together. This is Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 13. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We are continuing in our stewardship series today. And I'd like us to begin by asking a very simple question. It's a question that we've been exploring the past 2 weeks. We'll continue to explore it today, and we will continue to finish exploring it next week in our final sermon in the stewardship season. But I want to ask a very simple question. Why do we give? God has given us resources, whether they're financial, whether they're time, whether they're talents, and we are asked by God to give those back. And so the question I want us to consider to begin with this morning is why? Why should we give? Now, there are a plethora of possible answers to that question. We won't explore them all. But when I ask that question of other congregations in the past or in conversations with individuals, why do we give back to God? The answer that I get more often than not is simply, well, because God tells us to, right? God commands us to give, and so we should give back. Now, that in and of itself isn't a bad answer. God does, in fact, ask us to give the good gifts that He has given us, to give back to Him, and to share with other people. So the fact that God commands us to give those gifts, yeah, that's fairly accurate. The problem is that in and of itself, a command doesn't mean that we ought to follow it, right? I was on my computer a couple days ago, and I was reading an article, and all of a sudden, an advertisement popped up onto my screen, and it said, "Must buy this now," right, in big red letters. And folks, let me tell you, there they were. Genuine Texas leather cowboy boots. And if you ordered within the next hour, you would get the matching cowboy hat to go with it. Now, I want you to imagine me rolling in on a Sunday morning in leather cowboy boots and a cowboy hat. Some of you guys can pull this off. Some of you are farmers. Some of you are cattle ranchers. You can do that. That's not me. I'm a lot of things, but I'm not a cowboy, right? And so I resisted the urge to follow that command, and I pressed the X button, and it went away, right? We are commanded to do all sorts of things every single day, and just because we're commanded to do them, that doesn't mean that we ought to do them, right? But you might say, well, but Pastor McLean, an internet ad is very different from God. We trust God, right? So the source of the command is important. Absolutely, you're right. But still, it's not quite enough. Just because you trust the source of a command doesn't mean that you do what it says because it's commanded of you. Let me give you an example. The state of Idaho commands that I love and care and watch over my daughter Epperly, right? I provide for her needs. Now, I trust the state of Idaho, but I don't love and care Epperly because the state of Idaho commands me to do so, right? I love and take care of Epperly because I love her. And that's why we give to God. We give to God because God first gave himself to us. That is the source and the foundation of the giving that we do. God, in his immense mercy and his immense love, came to this earth in Jesus Christ and gave himself as a sacrifice for us so that we could be in relationship with the Creator of the universe. And in that gift, we find the root and the source, the desire for us to give back the resources that God has first given to us. And the Lord's Prayer, our scripture this morning, reminds us of this first primary gift that God gave. And in verse 11, we read three very specific words: our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. And these three words, our daily bread, they remind us of the promise of this gift, the content of this gift, and it reminds us why we give back to the Lord in this season of stewardship. I want to spend our time this morning looking at these three words, our daily bread. And by breaking them down and investigating them further, maybe we begin to better understand our call to give as well. Let's start with the first word, our. Now, I just mentioned earlier that God gives himself to us. But there's a very, very important caveat that we have to remember. When God gives himself to us, God does not give himself over to us. What I mean by that is that when God gives himself as a gift to you and I, it's not a gift that we then get to hold for ourselves and manipulate. God, of course, is not manipulated, and he is not given to us so that we have full control over him. And this is true of the good gifts that he gives us as well. We're talking about the daily bread that God gives to us. When we say that is our daily bread, we're not saying that it's my daily bread. It's really interesting. The prayer could have read, "Give me this day my daily bread." But that's not what it says. It says, "Give us our daily bread." I don't know, some of you guys may have heard that I was sick this past week. I had a temperature of 103 for about 2 days. I was laid low. There was no getting out of bed. And when you spend an entire day in bed, as many of you have experienced this before, there's only so much reading that you can do, right? There's only so many emails that you can send out and respond to. So about halfway through day one, I had done everything I possibly could. I was going mad, and I said, "What am I going to do?" And that's when it struck me. I was going to take on that one task that all humans must try to take on in their lives, one task that many have not been able to accomplish: the watching in one sitting of all three Lord of the Rings movies. Extended version, by the way, right? This is a 12-hour commitment that you have to make. And if you remember in the movies, The Lord of the Rings, or perhaps you've read the book, you remember that there's a character named Gollum, right? The only problem is that that's actually not Gollum's real name, and this is a spoiler alert, okay, so I hope I'm not ruining it for anyone. But Gollum is not his real name. His real name is Smeagol. And Smeagol was somewhat like Frodo and the other hobbits in his early life, but then he became interested, he became consumed by a ring. And if you remember, this is the ring of power that Sauron is trying to use to dominate all of Middle-earth. And Smeagol comes across this ring, and it begins to take hold of him. He thinks that this ring only belongs to him. And as this ring begins to consume him, and his pursuit of owning it consumes him, he begins to transform into the creature Gollum. And in fact, as it poisons his life, he begins to cough, and he goes, Gollum, Gollum. And that's where he gets his name, Gollum. So Gollum goes from Smeagol to being this creature, and he has this very famous refrain when he's admiring and holding on to his ring. And I'm going to invite you, if you remember it, to do it with me. Bonus points if you can do it in Gollum's voice. Just don't frighten the person next to you. I'm not going to do it in that way. But as he looks at the ring, he says, "This is mine, my own, my precious." Right. You see, Gollum sees this gift, this thing that he has, as something that solely belongs to him. No one else can have access to this ring. And as Gollum tries to protect it himself, he draws himself deeper and deeper into the mountains until he's fully by himself. Sometimes we do that with God's gifts as well. God gives us good things, and we say to ourselves, "Mine, my own, my precious," and we isolate ourselves. But the prayer that we read this morning warns us against such a fate. It warns us that in our daily bread, we are reminded that the good gifts that God gives us is not for just me, it's not just for you, it's for us. God gives us good gifts to sustain us, not so that we isolate ourselves, but so that we can serve His creation. That's why God gives us our daily bread. The first word is our. The second word is daily. Our daily bread. What we learn from this word daily is that God sustains us from moment to moment. We are fully, fully dependent upon God. Now, I try to imagine if an American living in our society today had written this prayer, I imagine that the prayer would read something much differently than our daily bread. My guess is it would have gone something like this. Give me just today a piece of bread so that it becomes mine and I can invest it in the stock market and I can build that one piece of bread to all sorts of diversified kinds of bread and I can pack them all in my pantry so that I will never need another piece of bread ever again. That's how we understand the gifts often that God gives us. They're our own, and they're mine just for that moment, and then once I have it from God, God, I'll take it from there. But the prayer says that it's our daily bread. God comes to us every single day, and He says to us, "This is what you need, and I'm going to provide it for you again and again and again and again." Why? Because you need me to. Because as soon as you have the idea in your head that you're going to provide for yourself, you're going to mess it up. And you're going to find yourself in need. God comes to us again and again and again every single day to tell us, "I know what you need, and I will be the one who gives it to you." And in that first recognition that God comes to us again and again and again and provides us for our needs, He also tells us a second thing, and that's very simple. God knows what our daily needs are. And this is important because it protects us from an accusation that we make against God all the time, right? I don't know if you guys have ever said this yourselves. I certainly have. I've heard it from other people. People come along and they say, "God just doesn't know what I really need. I have all of these needs, and God just doesn't know what they are. Where are you, God? That's an understandable thing to claim from our perspective. But our prayer tells us again that God provides for our daily needs. So if God is going to provide for your daily needs, He knows what those daily needs are. And this should come as a word of hope. This should come as a comfort. If God knows what our daily needs are, there is not a day that goes by in your life when you are not in the sight of the Lord. If God knows what your needs are every single day, then He is looking at you every single day. That warns us against the pride. It warns us against the fear that we are lost in the shadows of the mountain like Gollum. No, we stand in the light of the Lord, and He knows what we need, and He provides for us daily, and all we have to do is depend on that provision every morning and every night. We finally come to our last word, bread. Bread is an interesting idea. Here in a moment, we're going to celebrate the Lord's table, and bread plays a special role in what we do every month together. In this bread, we declare that God cares about our soul. Jesus says in the book of John, chapter 6, I am the bread of life. And what He means is, I am the one who is going to reconcile you to the Father. I am that bread that will satisfy you forever. The soul matters to God. It is His primary concern. God is committed to providing to your spiritual needs, and He is the one who is going to provide whatever it is you need in that area of your life. That's really, really important. If you remember in the beginning of the prayer this morning, God says, we are told to pray, hallowed be thy name, right? Which means honor God's name. Well, we honor God's name not, again, just because He's a God, right? Lowercase g. We honor His name because He is the God. He is the one who has loved us. He is the one, again, who given Himself to us. If He is this individual, then He is the bread of our souls that fully sustains our spiritual lives. But God doesn't stop with our spiritual lives. This is important. God also cares not only about our souls, He also cares about our body, about our material needs. If you guys have been, some of you have been attending our History of Christianity class that I'm teaching on Wednesday nights, and we talked about the Gnostic Gospels. These were Gospels that popped up around the same time, a little bit later, in fact, of the writing of the four Gospels that we recognize to be the Orthodox truth, the witness to Jesus Christ. But one of the elements of these Gnostic Gospels is that they hated material things, right? This was an element of Greek philosophy. All material things were bad, right? And so they said that Jesus only kind of appeared to be a human being. But He didn't really need food, and He really didn't need water, because those are material things, and obviously God would not be a material being. This was the claim of the Gnostics. But the early church again and again and again came back and said, no, Jesus Christ was truly human. Jesus needed food, He needed sleep, He needed water, He needed all the things that we need as human beings. God cares about this life. He enters into our life, into this world, as a human being, and He appreciates what it means to be a human being. And so when we say that God gives us our daily bread, we're not just talking about our souls, we're also talking about our physical needs. My daily bread, it looked different than Pastor Steve's daily bread. My daily bread may look different than Lane's daily bread, right? We all have different bread that we are in need of. It goes back to daily. God knows what those daily needs are. But one thing that we all share is this. The source of that daily bread does not change. My daily bread may look different than yours, but God, the creator of this universe, our Lord Jesus Christ, He is the one who continually gives each of us our daily bread. He is the one who cares for both our bodies and our souls. I want to end with thinking about the prayer not just as a petition, God, give us this day our daily bread. We're not just asking something of God. As we pray that prayer, we're also praising the Lord. Because when we pray, Lord, give us this day our daily bread, we are recognizing that God has made a promise to us. In the gift of Himself, in giving Himself to us as our Lord and as our Savior, He has claimed us as His own, and He has promised that He will care for us, and He will care for our daily needs. And so when we pray, Lord, give us this day our daily bread, it's as if we are recognizing, God, You're going to do what You've promised to do. And what He has promised to do for us is to care for our needs, to call us to be fully dependent upon Him, and to take the good gifts that He has given us and share those gifts with the community we live in so that God's kingdom can continue to be built. Let that be the challenge for us in this stewardship season, to receive that good gift and to give it to others. Let us pray. God, in Your mercy and in Your love, You have given us good gifts. You have given first the insurmountable gift of Yourself in Your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord. You have continued to give us good gifts through the power of Your Holy Spirit. And so this morning, Lord, as we have prayed our prayer, and we will pray it again, we will say the words, give us this day our daily bread. And let those words, Lord, be both a petition but also a celebration of the good gift that You have given us and a recognition that You will continue to give good gifts to us that we may share them with those around us to see Your kingdom built. We pray these things in Christ's name.